Hey, this is Terry Green, and we're going to be talking with Ray Hammond today, a longtime Trad Gang member. He's also been a moderator, fills in when I'm out of town. And welcome to the interview, Ray.
Hey, Terry, how you doing today?
Doing fine. Why don't you tell the other members a little bit about yourself to start off with?
Well, I'm married. I have two daughters and two granddaughters, very young granddaughters. Been bow hunting a long time, as you said. Born in Denver, lived all over the world. My dad was in the military and ended up in the South and Savannah and Atlanta specifically because of work, and love Georgia. It's my home state now. I hunt a lot in South Carolina for pigs, and travel all over the United States, or North America. Haven't been overseas yet, except for Canada. So that's kind of me in a nutshell.
All right. How long have you actually been bow hunting with traditional gear?
Oh, gosh. I guess 30 plus years anyway.
Yeah. And did you have any heroes or role models back when you picked up traditional bow hunting?
Yeah, Fred Bear was, you know, that was the guy on, you know, seeing him on American Sportsman and seeing Howard Hill in the theaters and stuff like that. And I even think that I saw, very early on, I saw somebody was traveling. We were overseas during the Vietnam War, and we were in Southeast Asia. My dad was sent over there to do the changeover from the military. Used to pay with script, not real American pay, American dollars. And my dad did the changeover in the 60s, early 60s, from script to U.S. currency, and so somebody was traveling, and I want to say it was Stacy Grosskopf, but I'm not absolutely certain that's who it was, but they came to the Clark Air Base in the Philippines and did an archery demonstration, and of course that was before I was ever shooting a bow, but that was really thrilling to watch, you know, it was along the lines of the kind of things that you see in the Howard Hill shorts, where he's popping nickels and dimes and aspirins and all that kind of stuff out of the air. So I guess those were my heroes.
All right, well, the next question is, what got you started bow hunting if it wasn't what you just mentioned then? Is there any one specific thing that made you go to the trad bow?
Well, no, not really specific. It was just a fire. Nobody in my family hunted, and one of our neighbors was a big hunter, and this was on an Air Force base, I guess I pestered him enough that he went over and bushwhacked my parents one weekend and asked if he could teach me how to shoot a gun, and of course, the answer to that was no. And so he was real judicious. He waited a week, and then he came over and asked him about a bow and arrow. And of course, that was okay, because to my parents, who were the uninitiated, that was a toy, and they didn't realize it was just as deadly as a gun, if not deadlier. So that was sort of a happy accident that it turned out that way, but thank goodness it did. During my college and early years after college, I didn't do it a lot. Number one, there weren't any deer back then in the places that I was living, so it was small game and squirrels, rabbits, shooting ducks and quail and stuff like that, but there weren't any deer to speak of. If you saw a deer track back when I first started trying to do this sport, you talked about it for a week, and it probably made the newspaper. But there wasn't any specific thing, just a real desire to do it. I don't know where it came from.
Yeah, well, that's that sure is interesting. Other than your first kill, which we'll talk about that in a minute, do you have any favorite memories or kills that really stand out? I know one of mine is when I hunted with you, but I'd like to hear if you have any favorite kills that stand out, other than your first one.
Well, it was probably my big elk, and it wasn't because of its size or you know, the fact that it had a giant rack or anything. It was just that if anybody that knows me knows, I tend to be a little bit on the heavy side, and hunting anywhere in that kind of a terrain, I mean, it was anywhere from 8,000 to 10,000 feet on the Continental Divide in New Mexico. That country's a pretty good challenge for somebody who's fit. And so for me, working, you know, applying for tags and getting drawn and working very hard, 5 miles a day walking and shooting my bow out to 37 yards and getting a double Robin Hood shortly before I left, and then going out there and not having anybody wait on me too awful much when we were going up these steep inclines and chasing after these bulls, and to finally, you know, be judicious about my shot and take it and make a good shot and recover such a tremendous animal, I guess that would have to rank right up there as my biggest thrill, because of meeting my own personal goal of being up to the test, I guess is the right way to put it, when probably a lot of people thought I would never make it.
Yeah, that does sound like an outstanding one to remember there. What about your first kill with a traditional bow? Can you tell us about that?
It was a small buck, a 4-point. Nothing really remarkable about it, except that it was my first deer. And, of course, I'd gone through the same thing that a lot of people go through. I had lots of opportunities up to the time that I took that deer. And I think I probably had unleashed about a dozen arrows prior to taking that deer. But it sure was a satisfying moment when I walked up on that thing. And like I tell everybody, that day a bow hunter was born, my friend.
Yeah, that probably sums up most of our feelings when that magic occurs. And you know, sometimes it's hard to get that first one under your belt, and boy, when you do, it's almost like you're off to the races then. So, what kind of advice would you give someone that's wants to switch over to traditional? You know, he's been a successful gun hunter and successful compounder. You know, what kind of advice would you give someone who wants to put away the compound and dive into traditional bow hunting? What kind of hunting tip could you give him starting off?
Oh boy, hunting tip. How about how to get started instead of hunting?
Yep.
I would recommend that you don't go whole hog into it and go buy a custom bow and all of that sort of stuff. I would say number one thing you need to do is find a mentor, somebody, a brother in arms, so to speak, who's been down that road and can give you some good, solid advice, like, you know, go out, start with a used bow in a good mid-weight, like 45 or 50 pounds, so that you can develop great form shooting a lot of arrows without getting tired out and developing bad habits. And get some arrows that are really properly matched to that bow. Don't just shoot whatever you've been shooting in your compound and put up with lousy arrow flight. Really get those things tuned to your specific bow. And then just go to a lot of events and places where trad guys hang out, and everybody's going to let you try their bows and try different people's equipment and find the one that you think suits you the best. Maybe I'm going to run into some resistance on this, but I think you should pick a bowyer that's close to hand. There isn't, except for a very elite echelon of really fine makers, there's not a tremendous amount of difference between a whole bunch of really good bows in that mid-range. And as long as the bow's quiet and will cast a decently heavy arrow well without making a lot of noise, you can't go wrong with any bow like that. And the advantage to picking somebody who's close to you is that you can go visit their shop and be there when the handle is shaped. And to my way of thinking, the handle on the bow is the most critical part of the bow selection process. If you can get that thing fitted to your grip the way you want to hold your bow, you're going to be miles and miles ahead. And I've always said that beware the guy who has one bow, because he probably knows how to shoot it well. And one of the guys I admire the most is a buddy of mine. He doesn't wear any camo, and he doesn't have a real nice custom bow. He's got this old clunker that looks like it's been run over by a truck 8 or 10 times, but when he goes hunting, he's somebody that's probably going to bring home some meat, because he knows how to shoot that bow. And so that's my suggestion about how to get started with shooting a trad bow.
That's real good advice, Ray. That certainly is. Some people do try to dive in and they expect too much too quick. And traditional bow hunting is probably something you definitely should wade into instead of diving in the deep end right off the bat. That's really good advice to give a young starter. So, what is your favorite animal to hunt, Ray? And why is it your favorite animal to hunt?
Well, the animals I have close by would be pigs, simply because to me they are you can hunt them year round. You don't have to have any specialized equipment to do it, and they are perfect spot and stalk critters. There's lots of them. They're accessible. They're great for kids, because if you take kids to a place that's got pigs, there's a lot of chance for a lot of activity, which will keep the kids busy. You can hunt them when it's warm. You can hunt them when it's cold. You can hunt them in between. They're great table fare. They can be prepared in a lot of ways, and they're just plain fun to hunt.
All right. Well, the next question is, what's your preferred method of hunting? And I'm gonna expand that out to, what is your preferred method of hunting pigs? And that would be your preferred way of starting, waking up in the morning. How would you go about the field finding pigs, and any kind of tips to tip off where they may be located, or any kind of advice you'd give somebody that's starting out hog hunting?
Well, pigs are ruled by their stomachs, as most of us are, in one way or another. You got to know what the pigs are going to be eating, and most folks would think that because you have feeders on your property, you hunt pigs over feeders, but really the purpose of corn feeders, or feeding whatever you're feeding out of them, is more an attempt to keep the game consistently on your property, because the corn is a very small part of a pig's diet, even on a place that's loaded with feeders and they go off all the time. You got to know what the pigs are after at each time of the year that you're going to be hunting them. In the summers, of course, when it's raining and the ground is soft, the pigs are going to be rooting. They're going to be digging up the ground, getting tubers and roots and wild onions and salamanders and grubs and earthworms, whatever they can find in that soft dirt. That's their they're a big thing in the summertime. And then, of course, in the fall, they're going to be in the oak flats picking up acorns. And earlier than that, in, say, this time of the year, August, they'll be picking up soft mast like grapes and persimmons, those kinds of things, locust pods if they can find them. They're really, pigs are opportunistic feeders. They'll eat snakes, they'll eat turkey eggs, any kind of bird egg. They'll eat baby rabbits, squirrels if they can catch them. I found just about everything under the sun in a pig's stomach. So really spotting and stalking is the way I prefer to do it. They're too unpredictable from a tree stand or a ground blind unless you're actually got your ground blind set up on a trail coming to a feeder and you're wanting to take a moving shot, because pigs on the way to a feeder or pigs leaving a feeder are hustling pretty good, and that's not a very good it's tough enough to make a killing shot on a pig when they're standing still, let alone trying to do it while they're hustling by you trying to beat each other to a corn feeder.
Yeah, that's a lot of good advice. And I'd like to add before we wrap it up that if any trad gang members out there would like to go hog hunting, that I have hunted with Ray on this very special place in South Carolina. And Ray offers hunting now there. He takes people hunting, and anyone who's interested in hunting pigs ought to give him a holler, because he's got a jam-up place and feeds you real well. And it's all around good time, and sometimes it's fast and furious, as a matter of fact, as me and you found out a couple of years ago. But Ray, I sure do appreciate you giving time to Trad Gang and enlighten the members a little bit more about you as a member and as a person and a hunter, and I thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Terry, and hello, everybody. It's nice to talk by the fire with you.
All righty. Take care, Ray.
Uh-huh.